Hi, it's Tony Brisky from Real Ghost Stories Online. Every single day, Jenny and myself do our best to try and create the best possible show for you. But it's not free to do that. We have a lot of hard costs on this end to distribute the show, produce the show, and put it out there for you. So we ask for your help by becoming an EPP, an extra podcast person. We're doing our best to make it worth your while by giving you a bonus episode every single week with some of the best stories we can find. Also, exclusive video content, including our new monthly video feature, Seeing Ghosts, where we examine some of the best ghost photos and discuss them that we get into the show here at Real Ghost Stories Online. All I ask is that if you listen to the show on a regular basis, please consider helping support keeping it on the air. It's only $5 a month, or sign up for a full year at a time and get 1 month free. If you already are an APP, thank you very much. If you're not yet, please consider supporting a show that you enjoy so we can continue creating it for you. Sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com, click become an EPP, and thank you.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, something seems to be enjoying a family's movie collection when no one is at home. I would probably do the same thing.
Yeah.
I'd very much be doing that. A couple finds they have very vivid and unusual dreams at the same night, only to wake up and find their dreams relate to the morning's news. A listener shares the terror of watching a phantom car pass her by, and a girl finds she knows her new home all too well and even the secret areas, but she's never been there while awake, only in her dreams. Those stories, your calls, and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
Hello.
Hello, and how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I am doing almost as good as an apple grande from Taco John's. Almost as good. One of our listeners sent in a picture of it. Kevin did.
Kevin in Kentucky.
Yeah, and it's something I think I'm sporadic when I mention that one. It's not like an everyday deal.
It's enough that our listeners know to send you a picture of it.
It's not that frequent. I'm talking about the mythical apple grande, is it?
I don't know.
I don't know. Remember the last time I talked about it until he brought it up. He sent in a picture of an apple grande he found at a Taco John's, probably in Kentucky. Anyway, it was a dessert that I used to get as a kid at that restaurant, and I have not seen one at one of those restaurants. I don't really go to those restaurants very often, but anytime I've swung into one, like in a random city, because that's what I do when if I'm at some city I haven't been to a long time or ever, I drive into a Taco John's in the hope that maybe they have this mythical dessert there that I remember from childhood. In most cases, they do not. And then I end up going to a different restaurant because that's all I really want.
Yeah.
But apparently they still exist. So, Kevin, thank you so much. If you're wondering what on earth I'm talking about, it's like this, it's like a flour pita, kind of deep fried. And then they put cinnamon and sugar on it and like a kind of like a thick applesauce, kind of chunky applesauce, if you will.
Okay.
You know, maybe like sliced up apple pie filling, if you will. A little bit of cheddar cheese and then more cinnamon and sugar. And it's delicious. It sounds weird and bizarre, but it's one of those things where, you know, you crave it. And I enjoyed them quite a bit when I was a kid. So anyhow, Kevin, thank you for being so attuned to our show and sending me that picture. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. We'd love to hear your experience, your stories, lots of ways to get them to us. You can also write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. So that being said, let's go to our first letter of the day. This comes into us from Nancy, and Nancy writes in, "It is Halloween night as I am writing this, and somehow I think it is a fitting time to tell this story. I've written in before about my house with a pig in the wood burner, and how my pest control guy had told me the house we had just bought was filled with supernatural pests. I have many stories of our life in that house, but I'll jump to this particular one, and it's very strange. Do you recount the previous letters?
I don't remember all the details. I do remember the story.
Okay.
Being sent in, but it was a long time ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
I remember the topic. The details elude me. I wonder about what episode that was.
Oh, it was early on when I was on here.
Oh, wow. So a long time ago.
Yeah.
Okay. Somebody probably knows. Anyhow, first of all, bear with me as I set up the necessary facts first. My kids were very young when we moved to this house and all went to grade school a half mile from our home. It was part of our daily routine that we taped the boys' favorite show, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, every morning so they could watch it after school. They are heroes in a half shell.
You added that.
Turtle power. Every noon, my show would tape. This is on the old VHS tapes that you would rewind, watch your show, rewind, and retape over and over. We used the same tape every day, and every day we'd sit and watch their turtle show together before I went to work. Later, I'd come home to watch my show. Same thing every weekday. One day, same as the rest, we went off to school, but I went out with my mother, as I did every week on my day off from work. The two of us then picked the kids up from school and went back to her house. Getting home late, there was no time for the kids to watch their show. Got them off to bed, sat down to enjoy my soap. Rewound the tape an hour and pushed the play button, and there were the endless credits to Beetlejuice. This is weird. Fast forward, and there was my new show, new episode. Got up, took the tape out, and sure enough, it was a tape we had recorded Beetlejuice and a couple other movies on as well. How did that get in there? I decided not to think about it that night, would deal with it in the morning. I was pretty freaked out. This did not make sense. No one was home all day. Kids are not allowed out of school without a parent. And my husband would never come home in the middle of the morning and put in a movie either. The next morning, I checked the Turtle Show and it had recorded a new show that day. And my soap had recorded the show the same day. Two different tapes, and it appeared someone had taken the tape out after the first show tape. Watched Beetlejuice and then put my soap taped at my soap and taped at noon, taping over another movie we had taped for the kids. To this day, I have no idea how this could have happened. There's no one that would have come into our house to watch a movie while we were at home. Doors locked, two dogs roaming at large in our house. Someone or something decided to enjoy a good ghost movie while we were gone without giving us the courtesy of changing the tapes back. I have many other strange things that have happened there, and we'll share them later. Thanks for a great show.
That is funny. The ghost is watching Beetlejuice.
Or an intruder enjoys going in and watching Beetlejuice. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That seems a little bit... Why would you do that?
I don't know. And I'm, you know, I think I'm following this story clear enough that this happened when the kids were at school. That the tape was probably checked that morning before everybody left.
Sure.
So that's really odd because my first thought was, oh, kids are trying to watch Beetlejuice and maybe they weren't old enough to or something.
Sure.
No, I don't know.
It's one of those, I mean, back in the day when you had to do that, it wasn't just auto record. You know, you pretty much needed to set this up every day. Make sure your VCR is set and good to go. For our younger audience that don't recall the days of VCRs, there was a lot of programming involved with it. It was, you have to do this, you have to do that. Most people didn't even know how to use their VCRs correctly. But once you had it down, you could do these sort of things. But it was, there was a lot more steps involved than just what you do for on-demand programming now or a DVR. So essentially, she's pretty cognizant of what she was doing.
Yeah.
And then to have all of that switched up would be rather troubling. Do you ever have any shows that that you taped or your mom taped for you on a regular basis?
Not on a regular basis. I had a tape that my brother and I loved, and it was Goonies, and she taped it off of HBO, I'm sure.
Sure.
And then at the end of Goonies, it went right into Lady and the Tramp, and we both loved it.
Yeah.
I loved Goonies, and he loved Lady and the Tramp, so...
I think every movie we had as a kid was taped off of television.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't have cable either, so it was always the edited for TV versions with tons of commercials in.
Yeah.
And that's just what we had. I think the only video I ever owned that was a an actual one, like from the movie store, was Home Alone 2.
Oh, really?
And I got it as a gift. And I think my mom actually just brought it here for us, like, not that long ago on VHS.
I think so.
She was cleaning out a cabinet. She said, hey, here's your VHS of Home Alone. Like,
we don't even have a VCR.
Wow. So,
do we have a VCR?
We might in a box somewhere, or it might have gotten rid of it at some point, going, this is taking up a lot of space for something we've never used.
It's cool to have it, though, since you loved it and watched it all the time.
Sure.
But we can't watch it.
Exactly. Now it just kind of takes up space. I do have a VHS of Toons Is the Driving Cat that I did buy at like at a discount mall store one day from SNL.
Do you remember how expensive movies were if you rented it from a movie store and then something happened?
They would charge insane fees, wouldn't they? It'd be
like $100.
Oh, God.
And I know this because...
did they get like sued for that?
In 1992, I'm thinking, my brother ruined a copy of Fried Green Tomatoes from the video store.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that was an expensive oops.
Sure, that went over well.
Yeah.
Nowadays, if you do that, they're like, oh, just buy us another one. Or it's like very, they're realistic about
it. Oh, yeah.
It's like, well, here's what it costs to replace it.
Yeah.
And I remember I had, my mom would tape As the World Turns. That was her soap opera every day. No longer on the air. And then when I was younger, like 2 to 4-ish, the show that would be taped for me was a show, and I wonder if anyone will remember this, children of the 80s, a show called Today's Special. And it was about a mannequin that came to life in a department store at night, but if his hat fell off, he turned back into a mannequin.
I only know this because you showed it to me after we were married.
Oh, yes. Today's Special. It's for everyone.
I never watched it.
Come join in the fun. I know the theme song, and I'm quoting it right now. Okay. And then there was like a stuffed mouse, or like a puppet mouse and a puppet security guard, and a woman named Jody, who was like, I don't know if she worked at the store, was a cleaning lady or something, but then she always interacted with Jeff the mannequin.
Okay.
And there's probably like 5 people going, holy shit, someone else knows this thing. And Ernest is like, okay. Okay. Next ghost story.
Yeah.
Kat writes in honor of Halloween, I'm going to tell you my ghost story. It's a two-parter. One part happened to me, the other to my mother. My grandfather, Robert, my mom's dad, died from lung cancer when I was a kid, around 8 years old. He loved my brother and me dearly, but had a special connection to him as I was his first grandchild. We spent a lot of time together, taking me from walks in my stroller, rocking in the rocking chair, digging in the garden. Unfortunately, Grandpa also loved his cigars. He always smoked on one specific brand, and in most of his photos, it can be seen with his stogie in the corner of his mouth. He fought the resulting lung cancer as much as possible, but it became clear that this was a fight he would not win. He was growing weaker, and the cancer had metastasized throughout his body. My mom was supposed to go up and visit him one day, but she was experiencing complications from her own illness, multiple sclerosis. She was not safe to drive, so she called Grandma and Grandpa and said she would come up the next day. They were looking forward to her visit. Grandpa was tired, but in good spirits. The next morning, she got the call that he had passed away. She never got to say goodbye in person to her father. She felt such guilt over this. She had difficulty forgiving herself and letting go. Around a month or two after his death, my mom had an extremely vivid dream about Grandpa. He told her that he was fine, no longer in pain, and at peace. Most importantly, he told her that she should forgive herself for not visiting, that it was okay to let go. He said he'd be watching over his grandkids and that he loved us. My mother woke up crying, waking my father sleeping next to her. They could both smell the scent of Grandpa's particular cigars. No one ever smoked in that house ever. There could be only one explanation. Grandpa came to say goodbye. Move forward 10 years. I'm graduating from high school that day. I'm in my cap and gown, looking in the mirror at my reflection, and I swear I smell Grandpa's cigars. Once again, no one ever smoked in that house. I did not see or hear anything strange. I just got the feeling he was there somehow. You see, Grandpa had never graduated from high school. He was what they call a self-made man. He was always very interested in his grandchildren's educations. He left a small sum to each of us to help with college expenses. I think Grandpa came to tell me that he was proud of me. A few years later, my mom and I somehow got on the subject of the afterlife, and she told me her story. The hair stood up on the back of my neck, and I told her my story. We never felt Grandpa's presence or smelled his cigars ever again. but I think he still watches over us, along with my other grandparents.
You know, it's hard to write off that smell
mm-hmm.
when you know that it's not somebody else that is smoking and, you know, smoking that particular cigar that has a unique smell.
Sure.
So I have to think that it's just him visiting, you know.
That, yeah, I mean, that's the definition of one of those, you know, initially it was a dream
mm-hmm.
Where you could, you know, that could go either way until you get some sort of defining characteristic outside of it, which they did with the cigar smell, and both of them smelled it. Because it could still be construed that the individual who had the dream was smelling that
mm-hmm.
and not truly smelling it, but it was, you know, somewhat of a aberration from the dream.
Okay.
That was still going on. But when you have both of them saying, yep, that is that smell, it confirms that there's something connecting that to reality.
And then, that many years apart.
Yeah. And then obviously this happening, and they're wide awake,
mm-hmm.
And then they're able to smell that. Yeah, I believe it was probably Grandpa just checking in and may not even have had the intent of being known that he was there in that case, but they got him.
Right.
I think a lot of times it happens. I think there's a lot of times where spirits are not necessarily trying to be seen or known, but we happen to catch them, and they probably aren't aware sometimes that they're being known
mm-hmm.
or that whatever is coming off of them, that their presence is being felt by the living. Because in most cases, it's not. 855-853-4802. That's our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Of course, you can also write into the website at realghoststoriesonline.com. If you like the show, be sure to press subscribe on whatever platform it is you listen to us on. iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, TuneIn Radio, you name it, we're probably there. Just press subscribe. It helps us grow in those rankings. And then you don't miss any episodes of the show, so please consider doing that. Donna writes in, hi, guys. Donna from Queensland, Australia here. The first story I want to tell you probably can't be classified as a ghost story per se, but I really would like your take on this. I was dreaming. In this dream, I was in some kind of clothing store, which also sold cute and colorful earrings and bracelets to go with their clothes. I was standing near some of the jewelry, very aware of my surroundings on the other shoppers, because I was planning on shoplifting an item or two. Before I'd even decided what to take, though, the lights went out suddenly. Everyone started to panic immediately, and all I could think was, this is it, this is the end of the world. Then I woke up. As soon as I was awake, I had a very strong feeling that I had to tell my husband about the dream. So I rolled over. He was still asleep, and I could see his eyes flicking back and forth beneath his eyelids, indicating he was dreaming too. This made me more excited. Jeff rarely remembers his dreams, maybe once or twice a year, so I thought if I could get him out of it as soon as he woke, I'd be able to get him to remember this one. Within a couple of minutes, he opened his eyes, and I pounced. What were you dreaming? I dreamt you were assembling military weapons, he replied with a yawn and a stretch. And I told him about my dream, which I'm sure he didn't care about at all because this stuff doesn't interest him the slightest. Then we got up and turned on the TV to catch the morning news. The TV was on ABC and some very somber-faced people were talking about the World Trade Center. We didn't really understand what they were talking about, and I said to Jeff, why are they talking about the World Trade Center bombing now? That was years ago. We decided to change the channel to 9. We used to watch their morning show every day. That's when we saw the vision of the planes hitting the towers, and the other two planes hitting the Pentagon and the field. Obviously, the date here in Australia that morning was September 12th, 2001. It wasn't until a few years later I found out that there was a small shopping center at the bottom on both of the towers. I believe Banana Republic was one of the stores. We don't have that chain here in Australia. So I spent many an hour since that day wondering if somehow connected with someone who was in that store or some other similar kind of store, someone who was planning on stealing a bit of cheap jewelry when the plane hit the tower and ended their world. And did my husband perhaps connect with someone in the military, hence his own dream of me assembling weapons? When something as huge as the September 11th attack happens, I don't think it's unreasonable to believe that a massive amount of what I guess you would call psychic energy would just blast its way into the world. Makes me wonder how many other people had dreams that could be attributed to the attacks or experienced emotions or physical sensations or something similar to the hours in the hours that followed. What do you guys think? Before I go, I just want to say that I only found your show earlier this week and I became an EPP on Wednesday because I'm already completely hooked. keep up the good work.
You know, it's interesting that she mentioned jewelry from the World Trade Center, because mm-hmm. I visited New York in 1999 for the first time, and one of the things that we did was visit the World Trade Center, mm-hmm. and I still have a necklace that I bought in that shopping center mm-hmm. below the World Trade Center.
Sure.
And it just, I forgot about that necklace until this story.
Uh-huh. Did you find it?
No, I know exactly where it is. It's in my jewelry box. I just kind of forgot about it, though.
Sure.
It's a butterfly, and it's one of those that looks like it's like from the 20s or 30s, but mm-hmm. it was when that style jewelry came back popular again
sure.
when we were in high school.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know. I think that's a pretty good observation as far as the amount of psychic energy
mm-hmm.
or any kind of energy that would be felt all around the world on a day like that.
I think that's certainly possible. I would like to ask, was shoplifting a common thing for her? Because if that's completely out of character, I think that lends more towards the argument that, yes, it's psychic energy and something happened. Unless you commonly shoplift. which, I mean, that wasn't really defined, and I'm not calling you a shoplifter. I'm just curious if just the fact that doing that would be something you normally would never even consider doing, so why would you be dreaming you're doing it?
Mm-hmm.
That would make it even more like, why would Earth would I be in this situation? Why would I be thinking of doing this in this setting? So it'd be interesting to hear more about that. Thank you for the letter. Thank you for it becoming an EPP. And I'm glad you are enjoying the show. Hope you continue to. And if you're new to this show, I mean, obviously you are new to the show. When we do our stories, obviously we talk about them a bit. And feel free to reply back to us with some of those answers to those questions, because we do like to follow up on those things and then talk about them. And if you have more stories, feel free to share.
We don't want to just leave the world thinking you're a shoplifter.
Exactly. So let us know. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Susan from Michigan writes in, "Hi, Tony and Jenny. Love the show. I'm a proud EPP. I've written before and was going to write about shadow people until I heard a recent episode. A truck driver shared a story, but what really caught my interest was when he said he'd call back and tell about phantom cars. It made me think that maybe I'll finally find an answer about an event I had decades ago. Up to now, I've told maybe a handful of people, but after seeing their expressions, I knew they thought I was nuts. And truly, had something told me the same story, I wouldn't have believed them either. All I can say in my defense is that I saw what I saw. I was about 12 years old and was walking home from a friend's house. We lived in a wooded area just outside of town, and our houses were divided by a small road. This took place in the early 60s, when walking alone at night wasn't unusual at all. Though I'd promised my mom that I'd be back before dark, it was already dark when I started home. Knowing she would be worried, I hurried through a makeshift path we had through the woods. When I came up the road, I saw only one pair of distant taillights heading towards town. As I stepped out onto the road, I glanced towards the car and stopped. The car was getting closer. Puzzled, I stood still, my eyes glued to the car. I don't know if my brain registered it, but at some point I realized that it was on the wrong side of the road for a car that should be heading away from me. But the scarier part was the lack of noise. The car was silent. Confused and frightened, I backed into the woods and crouched down. I could still see through the branches, but I was pretty sure I couldn't be seen from the road. As it got closer, I could see it very clearly. It was going backwards in total silence. I remember holding my breath, afraid that it could hear me while it drove past. I tried to see inside its windows, but they were black. I waited at least 5 minutes after the last hint of any light before I had the nerve to inch my way back to the road. Then I bolted across and didn't stop until I was inside our house. That's my story. I hope the truck driver will come back to tell about the phantom cars. Maybe this isn't the only silent backwards car. Thank you for all your hard work. You guys make the perfect team. Sue."
And I do want our truck driver friend, I can't remember which person it was, but I want him to write in about his phantom car story. But that is just weird, going backwards and silent.
Something's not right there.
No.
I mean, I would venture to say, yes, a phantom car of some sort. What is it? Is it a conscious thing? Is it some sort of wrinkle in time? Is it some sort of residual That's hard to say.
Mm-hmm.
Are you watching A Wrinkle in Time in reverse?
Yeah, really.
You know?
I don't know. That's odd.
If anyone else has any other experiences like that, because sometimes when you get a story like that where it is so unique in the events that occurred in it, you suddenly get an influx of other folks going, oh my God, I saw something like that too. I don't know what the hell it was. I'm not alone.
Yeah.
So that may be a relatable one for other folks to write in with. Of course, you can do that on the website at realghoststoriesonline.com. And like I said earlier in the show, please, if you like our show and you're new to it, this is a show that's supported by our EPPs. That's extra podcast people. They get all the bonus episodes of the show. We put out a brand new bonus episode every week. A lot of extra video content, including our new ghost series called Seeing Ghosts. And that that new episode of Seeing Ghosts, by the time this airs, should be out or is about to be out. Episode 1, I know, is out there for sure. And in the new video episode of Seeing Ghosts, it's visual and obviously seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And we take a look at paranormal photos that have been sent into us. And this episode number 2, there are some really, really good, extremely vivid and very much definition to like full-bodied apparition pictures.
Okay.
That have been sent into us. Not just an orb or not just, you know, some fog. I mean, we always have some of those, but there's some really, really good ones in this new episode that really, you know, I think they stand up to some of the best ones I've ever seen,
mm-hmm.
where they're just like, holy, wow, that is a really good photo. And they don't have that feeling of being Photoshopped either.
Okay.
They're really just, it's like, wow, that is a good photo. So if you want to see those pictures, sign up to be an EPP, and then you can see that episode 2 of Seeing Ghosts. You'll have access to that. On to our next story. Danielle writes in, hi, my name's Danielle. I'm from Central New York State, and I'm feeling spooky since it's around Halloween. Although, it's not right now, obviously, but that's when we got this letter.
That's how far back our stories are right now.
Yeah, it's another little note, side note. When you send a story in, it'll probably be a few weeks before we get to it.
Right.
Because we have a lot of stories we're going through. I decided to write in my story. When I was growing up, we moved a lot, and I've had my fair share of spooky and unexplained happenings. But the one I'm about to tell you is the one that sticks out to me the most. When I was 12, we moved into a small little home. After we settled in, I realized something was eerily familiar about this home. That's when it hit me. I had previously dreamed about this house. I knew I had never been there before and distinctly remember the dream. I remember it to this day, every detail, like I just woke up from it. In my dream, the house is vacant, and when I walk in the front door, no furniture, no people. Walk up the stairs that lead directly into two rooms separated by a doorway. I walk through the first room and into the second. I enter the walk-in closet, open the door into the cubbyhole, and in there I find a bag. When I open it, there are dead bodies. Now this is where it gets creepy. The house layout was exact to my dream. I told my best friend about this, and we decided to open the cubbyhole door. And I shit you not, there were 3 garbage bags in there. Oh, God. Now, as far as I know, there were only old clothes in them, but I was so freaked out because it was in my dream. It's only the start of the weird things to happen. The second room was always cold and creepy feeling, so I actually blocked it off. What led me to do that was one day I had to practice singing for a choir concert and decided to record myself. Went into the walk-in closet because I didn't want to disturb my parents. When I listened, the recording was very fuzzy, like a radio station. You can't get to come in. It could be debunked as radio waves interfering, but no one had one on in the house. I was so creeped out by that house that at 12, I still used a nightlight. You'd always hear weird creaking, and I absolutely hated staying home alone. One night, while I was on the computer, things in the bathroom ended up dropping at my feet. This should be impossible because everything that had fallen were on the shelves in the corner of the bathroom. And the icing on the top of the creepy cake actually happened at my 13th birthday party. It was me and about 5 other girls. We were in my basement watching movies when the cellar door opened. And seconds later, the door to the backyard opened. We all got spooked and we made the oldest girl close the doors. When we woke up the next morning, the doors were open again. I had a hard time believing a draft opened these doors because it never happened again or before. And the doors were new and latched well. At 23, I still don't know how I had a dream about this house before ever seeing it. I'd also like to add that the house is old. was built in 1900 and is located in a small town alongside the Erie Canal. The town is rich in history and scary stories. Sorry this is long. I plan on becoming an EPP, but don't tell my husband because he hates when I get spooked out by ghost stories. Because I wake him up in the night so he'll walk me to the bathroom. Love you guys. Danielle.
It makes you wonder if she saw a glimpse of the past. Hopefully not a premonition.
Yeah.
With it being the house and knowing where the cubby hole is and there's stuff in there.
And finding old clothes in there. Why did they leave old clothes?
I don't know.
Unless they belonged to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
That they had been storing in there before you moved. I don't know. I mean, I would, out of curiosity, be trying to look into the history of that home and seeing if there was ever a crime, if there was ever, you know, a missing person, if there was ever anything, you know, along those lines,
mm-hmm.
in some way connected to that home or its residence. Now, what could get tricky about that little factoid is if, you know, maybe there's a missing person or missing persons in the area that were not necessarily associated with that home, but then makes you wonder about the residents of that home and if for some reason they were involved in something. And these things are probably all, if it's a 1900 home, either long gone or there's not much to look into other than just speculating on their whereabouts.
Sure.
But it I don't know. I think if I was having that, I'd be doing a lot of digging. And it would probably be quite extensive and probably take a lot of time to do that, though, at a library or something of that sort, because unless the old newspapers have been converted into a searchable format,
mm-hmm.
which some are doing that now, which is quite cool, because then you can actually Google the old newspapers.
Oh, wow.
And then, like, because otherwise your option is literally trying to search all the films.
Mm-hmm.
Which I remember doing that years ago, looking for stuff just out of curiosity. But you'd have to read everything, which
sure.
would be nearly impossible task. But with those being converted now, they become searchable. And then you can actually search the archives of some of those newspapers. And you'd probably certainly almost need to do that locally. If that exists, that could be very interesting,
mm-hmm.
to say the least. Did you ever look at, what was those called? It was the films you'd have to go get. They'd have to, like, get them out for you. The librarian would.
Sure.
Then you go to the little booth, and then you'd look at it on, like, the lit-up screen, and it would just be showing you the archive of whatever.
I know what you're talking about. I never did that.
I can't remember. I did it for Titanic.
Oh, you did.
I was very curious. My dad was doing some sort of work thing at the library one day, and I had nothing else to do. So I asked the librarian to go get me the films. I want to say, like, telefilms, but I don't think that's correct. From April 14th, 1912. And actually, when you get those, sometimes there's more than one newspaper on a film.
Mm-hmm.
It usually covers the general time window. And so I got to see some from, like, right before. And even the local newspaper had covered, hey, Titanic sailing tomorrow. And then all the way through. And then, oh, it sinks. And then just watching the headlines.
Yeah.
And interesting seeing it from a local perspective.
Well, sure, because you guys had somebody from your town that was
yeah,
on it.
There was actually a local person that died on it. I couldn't tell you who it was. And I don't believe they ever found their body either.
Mm-mm.
But their grave marker happens to be in the cemetery that I also love to wander around, Ryanzi.
Yeah.
There's just so much fun there. So much fun, morbid death. Cynthia writes, and I love the show. I have lots of experience, but I'll only share two today. I was about 20 and at home alone in the middle of the day. I was reading in my room with my door closed when I heard footsteps heading through my house towards my room. I waited expecting my mom to come home early, but my door didn't open, and I heard footsteps again heading back to the kitchen. So I got up to see what my mom was doing. Went through the house. No one was there. Called for my mom, and nothing. Must have been my imagination, I thought, but I knew I had heard footsteps. I went back into my room and called my mom. No, she was still at work, and now she wouldn't be home for at least another hour, and she'd call me on the way home like she normally did. Feeling unnerved, I went back to reading. Now, 10 minutes later, footsteps came again, and I stared at my closed door, waiting for something. I got up, opened the door, peeked out into the hall, seeing through the living room, and nothing. I shut my door again, Get yourself together, I tell myself, and I go back to reading. I finally felt at ease, and then I heard them again, very footsteps, then a door opening and closing. I think it must be my uncle here to do some work on the yard. Not feeling much better that it was someone, I went back to reading. Heard the door open again in footsteps, and I went out and called for my uncle. And no one was there. I walked around the house. No one was even parked near my house. I walked back into the house and searched it again. Someone has got to be here. But there was no one there. Just me and the footsteps. I went back to my room and shut the door, turned on my TV and my stereo, and sat as far away from the door, and I called my mom to hurry home and told her, when she did come home, to come into my room and get me, as I wasn't going to leave it otherwise. Later, I found out my mom had experienced this before and heard talking. The other story happens about 2 years later. I worked a job that required me to wake up at 4 in the morning to get ready. My alarm goes off, and I crawl out of bed and head for the door, and I twist the door handle. The door won't give. Now, in my half-asleep state, panic sets in as the door won't open like someone is holding it in place on the other side. What the fuck, I say on the verge of tears. I'm hitting the door, whimpering, for it won't open. I finally step back and touch the handle again, much more awake now. I look at the handle, and it's locked. I stare at it. Really not funny, as I say to the door. I had a lock on my door, but I never actually locked it, mostly because the door itself doesn't shut right. It takes a great effort to lock the door to get it to latch. Mostly you just lock it for the door to open always because it didn't latch. I hurried out of my room and into the bathroom and got ready to go off to work. Later I told my mom what had happened and that I had been terrified. She laughed saying I just had locked the door and I must have forgotten. I argued I never locked the damn thing, but we dropped it altogether. A few years later, my mom had moved into my old room, and she hardly ever closes her door and certainly never locks it. I'd come home from a night shift, and she told me that she had awoke in the middle of the night and she couldn't get her door open. She'd panicked, but at the end of it, it had just been locked. I told her, "You must have locked it then." We both knew she didn't ever do that. I told her, "See, I wasn't lying," and she agreed that it was something else that must have locked the door. Since then, my mom hasn't shut her bedroom door, nor had it not even been halfway closed. I have lots of other stories, but I'll share them some other time. Thank you for listening.
Okay, the footsteps are just creepy.
Mm-hmm.
I think what would be even scarier than being alone in your 20s, a female, and you hear footsteps and you can't find the source of it, is to be the mother on the other end of the phone.
Listening.
With your kid freaking out and not being able to get home.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it was a ghost making the footsteps?
I think there was certainly, yeah. I mean, I would define it as a ghost.
Mm-hmm.
What type of ghost, I don't know. But, yeah, there's certainly something there. And it's hard to say if it's a conscious entity or not, or if closing the door and shutting the door is just some sort of residual thing that happens with energy, because that could be. It might not have any malice intended. It just might be part of whatever the hell it's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Be interesting if the door shutting and locking happened around the same time of the year. Because obviously this second time it happened further out.
Mm-hmm.
I believe she said it was a couple years later.
Yeah, you're thinking one of those hauntings that...
annual.
Yeah, annual haunting.
An annual residual haunting.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be very curious about that. If that could possibly be the case, if that does ring a bell or if that is at all accurate, let us know. 855-853-4802, our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share yours. Let's hear yours. Hi.
Hi, my name is Octavia. I'm calling from Southern California, and I finally got my courage to call. I found your podcast, and I have always been interested in the paranormal. I used to actually think that I was some sort of ghost magnet, but listening to some of the other listeners, I think I got it easy. So I can tell you about some of my experiences with going to some of the most haunted places in the world and actually getting haunted. But the one that I want to tell you would fall under public service announcement number 714. Stay away from Ouija boards. I have played with Ouija boards a couple of different times in my life, and nothing ever happened. it might say gobbledygook or just nonsense. Nothing ever happened. So I heard stories of people having these strange things happen and being terrified, but it never really applied to me. So this is about 6 years ago. I was living in my apartment, and I was married, and I was kind of researching Ouija boards. And there is a website, I won't say the name, but it's like the history of Ouija boards. And one of the little cautionary notes it has when you start the site, it says, beware, JavaScript makes it very easy for spirits to communicate with you. So don't be surprised at what you get. So I'm like, whatever. So I gotta start playing with the different little Ouija board versions, and nothing's really happening. Like, it's just, you know, how old am I? It's like 74. Just nonsense. I'm like, okay, whatever. So I turn the website off, and about 5 minutes later, my phone rings. I look up my caller ID, and I see the number 666-666-666. I'm looking at the phone ringing, and no, I am not answering that phone. I wait till the ringing stops. Thank God it didn't leave a message. And I'm kind of freaked out, so I immediately call the operator. I dial 00 or whatever. And I said, operator, I just received a call from this number. And she just sounds completely just annoyed. She goes, that's not possible. Nobody has that number. I said, okay, I have not been ringing. I know what I saw. Caller ID. She said, well, maybe you have a friend that has an iPhone that's spoofing you or, you know, playing a prank with you on the phone. Back then, you couldn't spoof numbers with iPhones just yet. But I know what I saw. And she just continued to deny that it really happened and just said ignore it. So I did. About 3 or 4 days later, the computer that I had been playing with the Ouija board on the internet suddenly died. Like, blue screen of death. I'm like, okay. Then my cat started acting funny. My cat has always been kind of like not really a people person. He likes me, that sort of thing, but he just started hiding in the closet. Like, we would never see him. I had some bells over the doorway because they say when a spirit comes through, they will ring a bell. So I lived in an apartment for 10 years, and I actually once heard the bell ring during this time, which really freaked me out, but I wasn't really making many connections. So then, when I would go to sleep at night, there was the way that the apartment was laid out, there was a hallway going to the bedroom and a bathroom off the side of the hallway. And in the dark, I would always think that I saw my husband coming out the bedroom. It would seem like it would be his silhouette, and I would go to say, hey, honey, and there'd be no one there. This happened quite a few times. Then stuff started getting moved around in the apartment. Still not making this connection, just thinking, okay, this is kind of random. And finally, the apex of events was one night I was sleeping, and I woke up at about 3 in the morning. And there, we had these two pictures on the wall. There are pictures that were under glass, like theater bills, you know, like, you know, come see Oklahoma, the dates at the Circumson Theater, something like that. And I looked at these two pictures on the wall, and I saw two heads come out of these pictures, like jaguar-like, like almost like an animal. These heads were like 3D coming out of this picture. And I'm thinking, O-S-H-I-T. And I kind of blinked my eyes, I'm thinking, I can't be seeing this. And I blinked my eyes, and it's still there. So my husband's sleeping next to me, and I tap him. And I say, honey, and he kind of groggily wakes up, and I say, please, look at the wall. He turns to look at the wall. He turns back to me. His eyes are like saucers. And we both don't know what to do. So without speaking, he got up, took both of the pictures off the wall, set them on the ground facing the wall. So the picture part was facing the wall. And we never spoke about that night again. But I know it happened because when I woke up, those two pictures were no longer hung and the picture part was facing the wall and they never got turned around until the day that we left the house, about 6 years later. So finally, I said, I can't do this anymore. I don't know what's going on, but I think I did something. So I went to my local little herb store, and I got some sage. And I opened all the windows and all the doors, and I smudged the apartment. It's called smudging when you take sage and clear all the negativity out. I go from top to bottom, the closet, the kitchen, everywhere, saying, whatever negativity is here, you are not allowed here. You are being told to leave now. And I did it for a good half an hour and left all the doors open. And lo and behold, everything just stopped like that, like someone turned off a switch. So that's my story regarding Ouija boards, and I hope to call back again to tell you about some of my ghost magnets. I actually discovered a picture that I took in Morocco with a ghost actually looking at me, taking his picture. So I hope to get that on here soon. It's been great listening to your show. I'm going to become an EPP. You guys are awesome. You've got a great chemistry. I love listening to you. And keep up the good work. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, that's a little bit freaky.
So computer version of a Ouija board has the same result.
I didn't know that that existed.
I didn't either.
That's even more tempting because it's so easy to access even if you don't have one. You don't have to go to the haunted Toys R Us in California to buy one. You can just...
the Sunnyvale Toys R Us.
Yeah, you can just go ahead and click away.
Yeah.
You better hope your JavaScript is not updated so it doesn't work correctly. That's always the issue. Your Java is not working. It's like, do you update this like every hour on the hour? Because I just updated yesterday. That's interesting.
Yeah, it is.
That's freaky when you get weird numbers like that.
Mm-hmm.
I will say I run into 666 quite often. And I don't know if it's just because I'm sensitive to it and I realize, you know, what it means or that I, we work in this topic all the time. But it comes up a lot.
Really?
I see it like, and it's not always just by itself. It's usually like in combination with something. If it's a phone number, if it's a monetary digit, if it's a this or that. I'm seeing it in a lot of places. Like, oh, that's really weird.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't like really feed too much into it other than I think it's one of those things where everyone started noticing the clock much more frequently after 9/11 when it's 9/11.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, oh, I feel like I'm seeing the clock more. No, you always checked it at 9/11 too. It just happens to be that have much more meaning to you now.
Right.
I kind of think about that with the 666. It's like, well, it's probably come up just that much all the time. It's just now we talk about this stuff so frequently that it just stands out that much more.
Right.
I think it's more of an awareness type thing. But there you go. Thank you for that call and that story. We greatly appreciate it. And thank you for becoming an EPP. I hope you share more stories with us and enjoy that EPP membership. Please send those pictures that you have. And if you still have that picture, we could possibly share that then on a future episode of Seeing Ghosts. Let's go to a caller in New York. Hi.
Hi, this is Carol from North Tonawanda, New York. I wrote in a story a while ago. You read it on True Identity. And it's actually part three of my weird paranormal experiences. So I thought I would give you part one. This went back to when I was about 12 or 13, and the first time that the movie The Exorcist was on network TV. My parents said it was going to be scary and that I should not stay up and watch it, but they let me stay up and watch it anyways because they were pretty good about stuff like that. So anyways, I got about 2 hours of sleep that night because I was laying in bed shivering, freaking out about what I had seen, and it was pretty bad. Now, fast forward a week after that, I stayed over at my friend Dee Dee's house. She was my best friend, and we would sleep over at each other's houses all the time, usually about twice a month, because we went to different junior high schools, so we never got to see each other except for that. So they had it on Canadian TV, because we can get Canada up here in western New York. So we watched it on Canadian TV, got totally freaked out. I had, during the week, I'd bought a Ouija board, which was really stupid, and I brought it over to her house, and I said, at midnight, we're going to ask questions. And she's like, cool. So after the movie was over, and we waited till midnight, her parents were asleep upstairs, we were real quiet, We got on her brother's bed because her brother was in the Army, so he was never there. So we got on her brother's bed, and we sat there, our legs crossed, and the board up on our knees, and we put our fingers on the planchette, and I started, you know, and we were really serious about it too. It wasn't like joking around. So I was real serious, and I said something about, you know, calling up a spirit and can we ask questions and stuff. And the thing started rattling a little bit under our fingers. And I said, is that you? And she said, no, is that you? I said, no, that's not me. So we it's rattling, and all of a sudden her dog, Fluffy, starts getting agitated and kind of whimpering and whining. And so she says, Fluffy, shut up, because her parents are upstairs. We don't want them to wake up because the dog's, you know, having a fit. So the dog shuts up, and of course our connection was broken. So we sat back again, put our hands on the planchet. I asked again, it started rattling again. The dog started getting agitated again. So another time she goes, Fluffy, shut up. And so we sat down, third time it started rattling, and then the next three things happened at the exact same time. Number one, that the planchet flew off the board and across the room. Number two, the dog started barking like crazy. And three, the back door slammed. Now, this was in the middle of the night. Nobody was going. Nobody was coming home. There was no activity in the house. And we live in a really safe neighborhood. So this just did happen all at once. And it was so freaky. I put the board in the dining room. And I came back to bed. And we just got in our sleeping bags and lay there, and we were like, what happened? Oh my God, what happened? And we just couldn't figure it out. So the next morning we get up, and I'm getting out of my jammies and putting my clothes on. I grab my clothes out of the bag that's in the dining room, and I notice that the Ouija board has, like, one corner of it is sopping wet, and the paper's all crinkled up. And I'm like, what happened? I said, Dee, look at this. What the heck? And she smelled it. She's going, oh, my God, the cat peed on it. I'm like, oh, my God, what? So we dabbed it off and got most of it off of there. I mean, she must have had a really full bladder. It was just doused. That's kind of like my freaky part one story of my paranormal stuff. So, give me an opinion of what you think of that. I'll call in with part two and part four some other time. Part two, I don't know if I'm going to do it because it's really, really terrifying. So I'll talk to you guys later. Thanks.
All the more reason to share.
Yeah, but it might be hard to share.
All the more reason to share. We would love to hear more of your story. And it sounds like the animal had a certain reaction, obviously, to this. Probably appropriate.
That's funny.
Yeah, that's that goes into the Ouija awareness binder.
Yeah.
When the questions of, well, why can't I use a Ouija board? Here, turn to page 424 and take a look at this story. I think that that goes in there as a good example. Carol, thank you for calling in and sharing that experience with us here on Real Ghost Stories Online. That wraps up today's show. If you like our show, please consider helping to keep us on the air by becoming an EPP, an extra podcast person. Get all those bonus episodes, bonus video content, and more, and the satisfaction deep within your soul that you're keeping us on the air.
Yeah.
That's where it goes.
It's a good thing.
It is, and that you can keep getting ghost stories forever. Otherwise, this show doesn't exist. So please help us out there. It's only $5 a month. And you get a lot of good stuff out of it. So please consider that if you can find a way to do that. We greatly appreciate that. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thank you for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.